Love this podcast? Support this show through the supporter feature from Acast. It's up to you how much you give and there's no regular commitment. Just hit the link in the show description to support now.
Ryan Reynolds here from Mint Mobile. With the price of just about everything going up during inflation, we thought we'd bring our prices down. So to help us, we brought in a reverse auctioneer, which is apparently a thing.
Mint Mobile Unlimited Premium Wireless. How to get 30, 30, how to get 30, how to get 20, 20, 20, how to get 20, 20, how to get 15, 15, 15, 15, just $15 a month? Sold!
Give it a try at mintmobile.com/switch.
$45 up front for 3 months plus taxes and fees. Promo rate for new customers for limited time. Unlimited more than 40 gigabytes per month. Slows full terms at mintmobile.com.
Tired of ads interfering with your favorite sports podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Stay ahead of the game by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/sportsadfree. That's amazon.com/sportsadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
I'm going back to where the beach is near. The beer is dear. There's plenty of women out the crowd. Walking
here on the final second, the whistle is gone, and Smigel over is now the champion.
By the riverside,
well, I'm being told that Average Joe's does not have enough players and will be forfeiting the championship match.
It's a bold strategy, Cotton. Let's see if it pays off for him.
Gary tried and drives it clean out over the fence. Out in there, he's the corner. Jesus,
it's okay. Hi everyone, welcome to episode 8. Are we on?
Season 8, I think.
Sligo podcast. Bit haphazard the last few weeks. We've been this
fragmented season. Yeah.
Lock on hand.
The summer. We haven't stuck to our schedule. But welcome along, lads. How are you? Ronan, Ross, how are you in this fine Monday.
Really feels like that at the moment, doesn't it?
Monday. Anything wild? Anything good? Good weekend for all?
Yeah, I was at a wedding there last weekend. Congrats to Brian Kenny and his new wife, Paula Monaghan. I suppose Paula Kenny now. I don't know if she's taken the name, but...
Paula
Monaghan Kenny. Yeah, great night out in Mercury. It was nearly normal. So then there were celebrations after. Congrats to Ian Birkin. We had an engagement party on Saturday for Ian Birkin and his fiance, Fernanda. So big weekend, yeah.
You're the man about town, Ron. I texted you last week. You need to start falling out with people.
I will. Yeah, I think
you're getting invited to too many occasions.
What's the opposite? You get a PR company to put good press for you. Like, you get a bad.
Well, you were giving me enough bad press there for a while. So.
Oh, hey.
I couldn't go for an ice cream when I'd been spotted somewhere.
One day we will leak that picture of Murty coupling up on the rocks and trying to
a blurred image. Good weekend, myself. Started lovely, lads, with Friday night.
Yeah,
Sligo were the Connacht minor champions.
Dare myself too.
Dare yourself, Ross. I didn't meet you in the end after all our talk with me.
No.
I actually met my cousin going in the gate. Number 14 for Roscommon is my cousin's son. And then when I was in the gate with him, I met my uncle. So I'd watched the first half with them. And then I went down my own the second half.
Oh, you said you bumped into someone in the second half.
Oh, Anthony, the Roscommon manager. Yeah, Anthony Cunningham was chatting to him for a
while. Were you?
I somehow watched the second half of him, yeah, to where he just stood. He didn't really give a shit, to be honest. But I was giddy enough in the Alteras watching a bunch of 16, 17-year-olds. It's amazing how invested you get. We'll go further that in a minute, lads. We'll have Enda Mitchell on. That was just recorded a while ago. The coach with the Sligo Miners. He's also the joint manager of myself of Calera senior team. So we're pretty close, yeah?
Yeah, good. Yeah, good to know these people. Did you have anything to eat in Roscommon?
I did. I got a chef kebab.
Yeah,
That's unbelievable, lads. I need to get a franchise.
I'm looking for an excuse to go to Roscommon.
Yeah.
I
was raging. I didn't think about it because I was quite hungry.
I thought you would, yeah.
I was quite peckish going home.
Yeah. I've often thought about doing the drive, you know, to Burger King in, where's Galway. That place? Enfield.
Oh, Enfield.
I don't like the one in Galway. It's one of them.
It's not great. It's a drive-thru. No, yeah. It's in a petrol station.
Remember,
yeah.
We used to make the burst to KFC in Bundoran when
yes.
I first came here.
Yes. Yeah.
So you will follow your stomach.
After all the stuff in the pitch, I think it was 9:15 before I left High Park. And then by the time I got my chef kebab, I didn't leave Roscommon until after 10, I don't think. But it's back for the bonfires there at the bridge in Ransworth, was great. So we'll have Enda Mitchell coming up shortly. Great weekend, the Olympics, lads. Kellyn Harrington done the business.
She did.
Us all proud.
Yeah, great to see.
Well, the reason I bring it up is a friend of the pod, ex-grammar school student Andy Craig from Duncannon, sent in a poem he wrote about Kelly. He penned it himself and he sends in a voice note. So this is Andy Craig's tribute to Kelly Harrington.
left hook, right hook, jab, jab, jab. Uppercut, belly shot, Kelly's our lad. From Portland Row in Dublin City to Tokyo, she is so pretty. Gold medal placed between her breasts. Kelly's our girl in the Irish vest. She made our summer seem so much brighter. Our little champion Dublin fighter. Let's raise our pint for Kelly Hitch, our champion off featherweight. Let's go and have a pot of mussels and toast our girl with champagne and truffles.
Right, I've no idea why that was sent to us.
But nice stuff from Andy, though.
He's a wordsmith, Andy.
Yeah. Andy Craig, yeah. Champagne and truffles, Andy. But yeah, Kyle Hunter, did you get up for it, did you?
Didn't get up for it,
no. I don't
know. I was pinting as well. I actually woke up at about 2 minutes past six and thought, all right, I'll actually watch the fight now and just roll back over. So
yeah.
I did watch him play back tonight.
Yeah.
She did well.
Yeah. It was gas yesterday seeing all the Cork and Kenny fans come by your house.
Yeah, some fella dropped off a sack of spuds. See that guy, no?
No.
Some Kilkenny fella.
What's he up to?
Yeah, he just dropped off a sack of potatoes for some reason.
Okay. right, we'll get into the GAA lads and the chat with Andy Mitchell, coach of the Sligo minor team that won the first Connacht title in, 53 years on Friday evening. So here we go, our chat with Andy. Okay, we're joined by Enda Mitchell here, coach with the successful Sligo minor team who won the Connacht final last Friday, beating Roscommon. Enda, welcome to the podcast. How are you?
Good, here, okay, good. Long time listener, first time caller.
That's great to see you. Yeah, you've sent in some good questions over the over the last few months. Are you still on a high after the big win?
Yeah, it's definitely still on a high. It took a day or two for it to kind of to sink in properly. I think yesterday evening sitting at home was kind of realizing the magnitude of it. I suppose when I come home, I don't have much spare time at the moment to do with other things going on here at home. And then looking forward to a championship next week with Clare as well. So it's busy, but it's good. It's good. Very good.
It's not a bad complaint to have, is it? We might just go back historic win on Friday, but where did this all start, really? The management team, the panel players, that you've been involved in a long time, haven't you?
Yeah, there was a group of us there that would have been involved around maybe from around 3-4 years ago through the development squads. The way I suppose it's done in Sligo is that there's a number of coaches will be involved with each age group, and over a period of time, some guys go off with other teams and things like that happens. But from the start, when I was in there, Colin McGee and Paul Henry, myself and Ross Donovan were there. And then as we went into under 16, then under 16, we brought in JP Carden from Enniscrone, and Pat Kilcoyne came in as goalkeeping coach. And then during this year, the likes of Sean Boyle would have come in for S&C as well to pick up where Louise Keane would have been working before. And then there would have been a few stats and analysis guys coming in after that as well. So, no, but
it's a good group. As you said, yourself, JP Carden, Ross Donovan, Colm Gaby, the coaches, and Paul Henry's the man at the top, the manager.
Yeah. Look, Paul is excellent at it. I think a lot of what Paul's job is with us is kind of, you know, he gets across what he wants the team to be playing, and he kind of gives us a bit of freedom then to come up with scenarios and things that train and then putting things together. We're lucky, all of us kind of see football in the same way, but still we challenge each other at times as well. Maybe not to, like, nobody gets a free run on anything. So it's a good group, a good mix. There's a lot of experience there. And you look at between Colm and Ross, there's a huge intercounty experience there as well.
Yeah. I might go back. I know, obviously, I know you personally, but when we were chatting even just say last year, I think a long way out, you thought there was something in this team definitely that a Connacht title was very achievable. With this bunch of players, especially.
Yeah, definitely. Like, you know, every team, you need to have a few standout players. And then when you mix that with some guys with serious work ethic, it makes a great combination. And then we knew the few guys that came up from the year below us, the guys that are minor next year, are really strong. And you look at the starting team, and was there three or four that played in that game, like from the year below. And that's not the usual thing that you'd have that many playing. So they brought great value to the team as well. And we knew that they were coming along. So it was exciting. We did kind of know there was something coming. And I think we were kind of building on what happened the year before. Like last year's minors got so close. And we knew that, look, it's there for us if we just push it as well. It gave us a bit of relief.
Yeah, and I suppose you missed out a lot. You missed the whole 16 year really with them because of COVID. But your first
game the lads had together was a challenge game up in Tyrone, wasn't it? Against up in Omagh against Tyrone.
Yeah, that's right. Yeah,
we won that. Like, that must have gave serious belief. I know you might say it's only a challenge game, but to go to Tyrone and win in Tyrone must have gave huge belief.
Yeah, definitely, because as you said, we missed out in the whole under 16 year with no Manning Cup or Ted Webb, so it was very hard to try and put your team together, and Tyrone being our first game, and it was a great result to get up there. Now, I know they were missing a few guys that were still involved in the 2020 minor championship at that time.
I told you that.
Yeah, there was still a very strong team, and you could see, like, they played Fermanagh there at the weekend and put up a cricket score against them. So it gave an awful lot of confidence to our lads. And the few challenges we played after were all against high quality teams. And it was good to see that they weren't afraid to go and go at it against the likes of the Tyrones and Kerrys.
Yeah, you played Kerry and Ennis as well, and a few other games. Who Donegal was it? I'd say the quality of them challenge matches, Dudley. But coming into the Leitrim game, I think the semi-final, the big talking point, I suppose, but everyone was saying a win was needed for Sligo football desperately in that semi-final. And there was serious relief after that game, wasn't there, just the semi-final?
There was. And the strange thing about the Leitrim game is that neither team would have known much about each other before. When you go into a championship game, you would have seen a bit and you'd have matchups and stuff. We knew very little and same then with us. So we did know they were going well in challenge games, and they were a stern test. Like, I think people have seen Leitrim, most Sligo might beat Leitrim, but like, they were a very strong Leitrim minor team. Like, you can't take it away from them. They were strong. It was a good relief. And I think speaking to yourself after it, and even the players would have said it, that themselves felt that they didn't even play to their best potential in that Leitrim game.
Yeah,
but the result is what mattered.
Look, they still won by what, 9 points in the end.
So I know. But I think that might have flattered us a bit on the evening.
Maybe so. So we'll go to Friday. We'll go to Friday evening. I got to Roscommon very early at 4 o'clock.
Pre-match atmosphere.
Probably sample the atmosphere around the town. There wasn't much happening, no.
Red Harrod wasn't open, though.
Harrod was open.
All right.
It really was.
Still looking for my jacket in there.
As we talked, I suppose I was chatting around 5 o'clock, and we both said the win is coming. Like, it was great confidence around, wasn't there?
Yeah, there was. I think even the way that the lads had trained that week, we'd seen that they were very focused. Like, there was, you'd usually have a bit of giddiness before a championship. There was that, but it was at the same time they were very focused, and everything we had done, we'd done a few scenario things in training and everything, and they were going full tilt at it. So it was promising. And like, I suppose we would have watched the Roscommon's two games, and they had two fantastic wins, of course. And we had, I suppose, targeted areas which we felt we could exploit in that game. And luckily that paid off.
Yeah, well, how good was the start? 5-0 up within, what was it, 6-7 minutes?
Yeah, we weren't really expecting that, to be honest. Oh. But I think it took Roscommon a bit longer to settle into the game, and I suppose our pace running at them in the first few minutes caught them. And I think we even worked a few frees off them, and the likes of Josh Flynn inside, his movement was excellent and gave his man an awful time. The likes of Stephen Rogan and Mark McDaniel, these guys brought pace at them in the first few minutes. So it was great to see. Now, look, we needed that start, because when you look at, we went 5-0 up, and essentially that's what we won the game by in the end, by 5 points. So if we hadn't got that start, you don't know how it would have went.
Yeah, that's true. Because look, Roscommon came back, obviously got a scrappy enough goal, but they didn't go away. But just chatting to, I actually watched the second half with Anthony Cunningham, the Roscommon senior manager. So I just kind of bumped in, and anyways. But
big shot managers together.
Yeah. He was looking. He was asking for some tips off me, but I think he thought it was someone else, to be honest. Tom Cruise or someone. But watching the match, I just felt I thought you were so comfortable, right? I just thought, like, tactically and physically, you looked so far ahead of Roscommon. But still, going into the last 5 minutes, he was saying the game was over, and I was like, no, this is Sligo. I still had that, like, little fear inside me. But what was the feeling like on the sideline going down the stretch? Further on to that, I thought the boys, for 16, 17-year-olds, they were unreal the way they closed out that game.
Yeah, they are excellent. Like, everyone would have been talking, I suppose, about the occasion of it being a kind of final and everything, but there was very little talk of that amongst our group. But it was always that it's a game of football, and the things we had worked on in training, like if you have nerves or anything, you can fall back on, like, look, we've worked on this. This is what we're doing. This is what we're doing. So that kind of takes that bit of pressure off. I think the massive thing was the few lads that came in made a big impact in the second half. The likes of Jack McGarner and there came in and did excellent. Like Jack is, he didn't play any part in the Leitrim game. It just shows he just came in there and he played a big part in the game. Again, I think that the fitness of some players, the likes of James Donlan and Ross Doherty and these guys and Dylan Walsh, their fitness showed as well. I think Roscommon couldn't live with them in the last 20 minutes. We were looking back at their GPS stats there, and like they were ridiculous. Like they're achieving stuff that elite intercounty footballers are hitting. And for 16, 17 year olds,
just that's pace and power.
That's it. Yeah, a combination. You know
what? It's something Sligo probably lacked senior level in a long time. I might just go into that near the end. Something else. But what's the feeling on the sideline, anyways? Were you squeaky one time or?
No, like. I suppose in a game, you know, you kind of get lost in it in a way. Like you're looking at the little things that you're throughout the whole game, and you're trying to see if there's anything, if they've made any changes in that, and to try and counteract them. So I suppose the second half seemed like the longest time, the longest half hour of our lives. The time just seemed to be very slow to tick away. But we were confident. Like we knew if the lads just kept doing it, and particularly at the second water break, we sensed that the lads were in good shape and their heads were right. And like a few guys were, just a few little questions, like I'd even put, like, Ross Doherty even asked the question, oh, look, I want to get on a bit more balls, what do I do? And he was just given a simple instruction, and in the last 15 minutes, he got on probably the most possessions he had in any quarter.
He did, yeah, he did, surely. Yeah, no, it was excellent. So the final whistle, what was the feeling?
Elation. It was, you've probably seen yourself, like, it was a bit bonkers. It was great. Like it was just like, I think one of the best moments was, I think Colin McGee was saying to me, he looked over at Stephen Rogan and he just ran over to his father at the fence. He was leaning over the fence and the both of them in tears, hugging each other across the fence. Yeah. So it was just showed like what it meant. Like there's an awful lot of good football people in Sligo, and like it's an awful long time to have to wait for something like this. So it was just relief. And I suppose just joy.
It was joy. No, it was good. I won't name him, but I got bear hugged by a man who was roaring crying.
But, he might be something to do with a goalkeeper, is he, no?
Huh?
He's not the cat, no?
No, not the cat. Not the cat. Was he crying, was he?
He might have.
I told him, lucky to win it, because his job's on the line. He's been development coach in a long time and nothing won. No, I was delighted for Pat. You know, he's so long involved. It's great for him as well. Like,
I think he's getting some new cones now for the All-Ireland semi-finals. So he's delighted. Brilliant. Yeah,
and he can bring back the Clara footballs he took when he managed.
He still has them.
No doubt he does. Well, the homecoming match was late. It was late enough now. It was round, and COVID restrictions, I suppose, kind of made it not the same way, but there was a great turnout there in Ballaghy. Even I was at Ransbury there at the bridge. That was near 12 o'clock at night. I'd say it was special just to see the support that Sligo football does have.
Yeah, that was brilliant. I suppose it was late enough when we got leaving Hyde Park because people kind of just wanted to savour what was happening and stayed on the pitch. And then by the time you get food and all that, and like due to COVID, we weren't using dressing rooms or anything like that. So it was up in the stand. So everything was that bit slower to try and get out of there. And by the time you organise all the cars, like every player realised they were all in parents' cars because we couldn't get bus to the game. So it was a really long cavalcade and it took a long time to get through. Now coming through Charlestown, it took us a while because I think we held up the traffic on the main road there for a long time. So there was bonfires in the road, but then even travelling the whole way back through Curry, Tubbocurry, around to Connery there, the whole way into Ballinacarroll, to see so many people out in the road in the middle of the night with fires lit. It was brilliant. And like, as you said, even there at Clooney, there was a massive reception as well at the roundabout. And at Balladrehead, just there as you turn off for Ransborough and in towards Summerhill as well, it was fantastic, the reception. And it shows how much, I suppose, joy it brought to the people as well.
Yeah, it was badly needed. You woke Murty off the couch, he was saying, when you went through town. Somebody's having a nap. It was half 12. Who's a nap on a couch at half 12 at night?
No.
No, but that's it's not the end of the story. Like, me, 2 weeks' time, they're obviously a good side, but Jesus,
yeah.
this Sligo and I'm sure you're not saying that's us done.
Definitely not.
One game from Croke Park, two games from Ireland. How do you not bring them down from that, but get them focused is the plan now for 2 weeks' time?
Yeah, like, as I said earlier, like, we never really looked into the occasion of any of the games. It was always about a game of football and the certain things you need to do in it. And we spoke to the group briefly just about the next day after the game on Friday, and like, every one of them straight away, they're hungry to go again. And that's just the nature of the group. Very little egos, but just pure hunger to try and go and achieve something. And they don't fear anyone. And I suppose we've kind of been looking at Meath in their last two games. Like, they actually play a very similar style to ourselves. There's some very good players. They've guy Sean Emmanuel in around the middle of the field. They've a Black guy in midfield, a Leonard guy at wing back as well. So they have their pace and power as well is kind of their game plan is built on as well. And guy Yui Corcoran inside was very good in the freeze. So very similar to ourselves, but there's nothing to fear there. We would have set out at the start of the year, we were talking about it's a four game season. And I suppose we've two down and like, just drive it on for the next.
100%, tick the boxes, two down, two to go. Yep. That's it, Mitch. It'll be just a quick catch up. Well done again.
Yep.
And look, I'll see you training tomorrow night.
Yeah.
Keep that baby fed.
I will. I'm in flat out.
There for a second. Thanks, Mitch. Just
cheers,
a second. Lord. I'm putting this on my face, right? And you just stay as if you're talking because you want to get a screenshot.
Okay, and that was our chat with Enda Mitchell, coach, one of the coaches of the successful Sligo minor team. What a win, lads.
Oh, my life.
Just I know it's a five-team competition, but 53 years is a long time. And I forgot to say to him, there's some serious minor teams that haven't won it over. They got to the final and just didn't get across the line. So
I remember one about 96, was it? Yeah, you're better on that team, yeah.
Yeah, they're a serious team. Lost the replay in the park. Should have won both days.
Yeah, they conceded a goal in the last minute against Mayo.
Yeah, they conceded a goal. Yeah, it was late anyways, but that was a throw. That was a great team. But that was a team, you had Taylor and O'Hara were 94, I think. Maybe not a great team, but you had a few players in that, like Neil Carew. I'm probably missing a few out here. And then you had 96 boys, like Noah Maguire, John was playing, and you had, who else, there's loads, Sean Davey, Brenda Phillips. I'm missing loads. And then you had a team in 98, I think, with, there was a 99 with Mark Brady and a few. Like there was 5 good years of serious, like, underage coming through. No, they didn't win anything at underage, but I think it formed a panel for the 2001, 2002 kind of team. So hopefully, they were in a minor, Sligo were a minor final last year as well. So hopefully this is the start. Only thing I would say, not to put a damper on it, there's still only 16 and 17 year olds. There's a gap now between minor and senior. So the big job is to get them 2 or 3 good years at under 20, and when they hit 21, 22, that they're ready to go for senior. It's a big job. There's a big 4 years now to keep them involved.
Lads won't reach again next year, aren't they?
There's a few, I'm not sure how many. But they need just keep, they know they can compete with everyone now, but it's to progress them to seniors that is the task really now, I think. Great footballers. Tactically, they're so clued in for young fellas. It was great when you were at it, Ross.
I really enjoyed it now. Jeez, I thoroughly enjoyed it now, I must say.
It was great to be out of the game.
This sounds pure stupid, but like, even the national anthem and people singing it in a big crowd there, the feeling of it was,
I missed the
unreal
anthem.
How many was that in the end?
It's down as 1,500. What's
the
really
full the stand?
The stand was fairly packed.
It was just you kind of just forgot what it was like to hear people roaring and being passionate about something getting behind. I loved every second of it.
It was good
to stick it to the Rossies at the end because they were getting very animated.
Sick in the shower, aren't they?
They're an awful shower.
They got very thick as well.
Actually talked about this the weekend. They've
landlocked.
They've got this arrogance about them as well.
Casey's is a hell of a garage, though.
The one with the Supermax.
Yeah, that's fine.
The best thing about the place, is it?
Fine, there's fine garage there in Boyle as well. Like, we got off the subject again. Yeah.
Garage in Boyle?
Sorry,
left hand side. Okay. No, it was brilliant. It was just fantastic. And I know the work that's gone in with the management team and all that. So it was brilliant. And for, like I said, to interview with Grant Mitchell. Mitch, I was delighted for the likes of Pat the Cat, Pat O'Coin. He's around that development squad. It's a long, long time. Rewards, finally, and the semi-final in 2 weeks' time. And you were saying you heard it was Longford. I was told it was Tullamore after the game, but
it's hard to take a ticket for that one, wouldn't it?
Well, I'd say it'll be on 1,500 again. Yeah. I'd say so, wouldn't it?
Yeah.
Or maybe if it's a Tullamore, might get the 5,000, would they?
Gee, you better get a ticket handy enough then. Well, it'll be a big interest.
We'll have podcast road trip, will we?
Yeah.
That'd be nice.
If it was in Tullamore too, we could take the Athlone route and stop at Roscommon on the way back.
There we go. Done. Chef Kebab, we're coming. Chef in Longford, we can still go to Roscommon. We're going to Chef Kebab. So that's Ross, you're driving us.
I'm not agreeing to that.
We're going to drive. Anyone want to drive us to the All-Ireland semi-final?
And we'll get
the ticket. Yeah, we'll get you a ticket.
Roadies. Roadies.
We'll do it. And a kebab. And we'll do a podcast, on the road podcast for you lads, a live show. But no, it was great. And let's look forward to that in 2 weeks' time. Chowchow Paul is back this week. The senior and
Pow!
Yeah. Chowchow Paul is back. Senior. Well, no, for going into that, actually, the league finals are played at the weekend in adult men's GA, Tour de Strand, one Division One again. I don't know how many that's in a row. I think it could be the same as the league.
Low scoring game.
6-4 now. Saturday was fucking wild.
It's horrendous.
Jeez, they're well to get a game going ahead.
Yeah, the park's in good condition now. 6-4. So, I don't know, yeah. What you say? I obviously didn't see the game or anything, but 6-4 in that. War of attrition, I suppose. Look, they bet Milosh in the Kieran Cup final 3 weeks ago by 4-14 to 5 points or something. So
good for Milosh heading into the Intermediate Championship.
Well, funny thing about them playing Intermediate Championship, you know who they're playing in the first round? Tour de Strand's Intermediate team. So
interesting.
They'll be sick of deciding on this. That's this weekend, so I'll go into that in a minute. St. Farnan shocked Curry, I'd say. Division 1, Division 2. Don't know when the last time Farnan's up in Division 1 league, but big one for them. They're a very young team. I'm under coaches this night, Gary Gilligan. He's lives in Strand Hill. Cockney Gary. Good man. The 3-12-11 points against Curry. Now I know Red Ogle wasn't playing a few and Curry had a few out. But still a good win for them. And the Bunnies won the Division 3. They bet Clunacool. Clunacool leading at half time, but Bunnadden, who were the favourites, came through in the end there.
That's Bunnadden's first team now.
It is, yeah. And it's Clunacool's first. Yeah. They're up to Division 2 next year. All the relegation games were called off. No.
A few waterlogged pitches.
There was a few waterlogged.
It's waterlogged!
If there was any chance.
Mary's played their intermediate or their relegation final yesterday. Because Gary Hare was on to us.
Yeah, he was, yeah.
He couldn't play. They bet Shamrock Hill's second team. It was Mary's second as well, sorry. So, and
Corey was called off
with a waterlogged pitch in Skarden. And there was something else called off as well. I just don't have my notes to hand here. I'm embarrassed. senior championship starts this weekend. We're going to you're going to give a few predictions, Marty. You've been brushing up on each. You've gone around each club.
I have. Training, I've gone around chatting to a good few people now around the county. So how many games is there this weekend?
We have 8 games down for decision between senior.
I'd be disappointed if I don't get 6.
Okay.
If I don't get 6, we'll have Ross doing it next week.
We'll run through the fixtures first. In Group 1, these games are 7 o'clock now. Clare Strand Hill versus Colley St. Joseph's, that's in the park. St. Mary's versus Curry, that's in Alpaca Park, also known as Naso Dow Park in Killarney's home pitch.
I'll afford to go in there again.
2 7 o'clock starts here. Group 2, I've got the 4 o'clock starts. They agreed to that. Tour de Strand play Shamrock Hills, that's in Caish. And Drumcliff Ross's Point, last year's finalists, play Giva at 4 o'clock, that's in Connolly Park. In Division 2 then, also on Saturday, in the Intermediate, Group 2 on Saturday, Castle Connor versus St. John's and East Keep on an Adden. And in Group, why would I say Group 2 before Group 1? And Group 1 on Sunday then, it's Enniscrone versus Harps, so Harps down in the Intermediate first time in a long time, and Tour de Strand versus St. Malosh Gales.
I know, you're right through them chronologically there now.
Oh yeah. Exciting, it's good that the club football back, and I don't know what kind of crowds we'll have in, I presume.
I'm going to try and stink into a couple of games this weekend.
Yeah, I'm going to get as many as I can. Well, I won't get to it. I might get a few intermediate games. We're going to get predictions now, Marty, in a second. The Tour de Strand and Shamrock Hills game in Drumcliff and Giver on a 4, I think it's for the Mayo. Free All-Ireland same final for people to watch it. That's at 6, Dublin Mayo.
Okay. Yeah.
There was talk of ours getting changed, and we had agreed to it, but it's no big difference. I'd like, kind of what I want to watch that match, but. I think Mayo, not to go off the beaten track, I think Mayo, I hope Mayo win and then lose the final.
Oh, fuck for me, we're playing Westport Saturday night. But we're trying to get them up here now with that match.
Get a rugby team from Mayo up to the Dave Nairn same final. Okay, predictions, Ronan. Crystal Ball, right. Stick Meg.
Shout at me.
Senior, Group 1, Kulara versus Colliery in the park.
Oh, that's a torn loyalty. What here would you sitting across from me in my home club?
I don't
club.
Care what you say.
I'd say it'll be a draw.
Draw.
geez, that's a bold one if I want to get 6 out of 8. But yeah, I'll go draw.
Get off the bloody fence, mate, will you?
No, I like the draw on that one now. I think.
Mary's Curry in Alpaca Park.
In Alpaca Park. Mary's and Curry.
Curry, intermediate champions just up. Mary's one of the favourites.
Yeah, I think I fancy Mary's by 2 to 3 points in that game. I think Curry give a good showing of themselves. I'd say they were feeling a weaker team there last week in that league final. You know?
Maybe so. Curry, so you say Mary's by 2. Okay, group 2. Tour de Strand, Shamrock Hills, Kevin Brenny, Park Kish.
Yeah, I'm going to go against the apple grain here and say Tour de Strand to win by 6 or 7.
Right,
do you know, go for the underdogs in that game.
They were supposed to play in the league last Monday and it was suspiciously called off and they're meeting each other in championship now to be said. So you're going for Tour and final game in senior this weekend, group 2, Drumcliff, Ross's Point and Giva.
Giva, I fancy Giva to cause a shock at some stage in the championship this season, but it won't quite be this weekend. So I'll take DRP there by 4.
DRP by 4, right, okay, that's senior. So a draw in Clara Colliery, Mary's by 2, and Mary's Curry in group 2, Tourist Round by 6, Dunclip by 4. Right, keep you this.
We'll make a tweet of this as well, so you're super accountable.
Well, I assume I'm just calling the winner of the game. I'm only trying to score lines for, I don't know why, but.
What the fuck? Sorry, I just got a photo sent to me by someone there. There's a cake being sent to Skarden with the picture of the winning team on the pitch. It's the Miners. I wonder if the jumper cake.
Will there be a slice?
Yeah, I wonder.
Keep a slice for me. Keep What's a the abbreviation slice. For that? Yeah,
that's a nice touch for the miners right in training. Okay. Off the beaten track again there. Sorry. Okay, Murty, going to intermediate.
Yes.
You've been scouting out the...
I did a lot of my research there in the lower leagues. You know, I'm looking forward to when the junior kicks off then next week. You know?
That's a big one next week. Pats are in action and the boys. intermediate group 2 on Saturday will start. So, Castle Connor versus Johns.
Oh, tough one. I would say Castle Connor are rolling well from what I hear. So I'm going to say Castle Connor.
Right.
Castle Connor by 4.
Castle Connor by 4.
Yeah.
Take the Johns in Shamie Donegan Park. Okay. The Sea Blues versus the Bunnies. Eastkey versus Bunnadden.
Oh, geez, that game's got draw written all over it. But I'm going to go with Eastkey in that one by 2.
Eastkey to upset the apple cart. Eastkey by 2. Okay. And finally, group 1. In intermediate on Sunday, Enniscrone Glass versus Eastern Harps.
That'd be a good game as well. Enniscrone rolling well as well, from what I hear from my sources now out there. But no, I'm going to take Harps there by 4.
Harps by 4. Source Ross Donovan managed at Harps, of course.
Yeah,
a few sources out and used to work in Waterpoint out there for.
I did, yeah, I did some light Waterpoint there, right? Yeah, myself, Declan Rouse got me sorted with a job out there when I was playing under 16 Gaelic. So.
Right, last game. Tour de Strand, intermediate versus Melosh.
Ah, no, look, you have to go up Melosh here. That's the easiest one in the week. Melosh, senior team by 8.
Melosh by 8. Right, good predictions. Thank you, Ronan. We'll come back to them next week and hopefully we'll get your 6 out of 8 and we'll be reviewing next week as well. Okay, I'll just give you before we go on the GA front. The odds, we're releasing Paddy Power this morning for the senior championship. So, Tour de Strand are the favourites at 4-9 on. This is a lot of games to win, but look, they're going for the sexy 6. Tubber, second phase, 15-2.
Tubber, second phase?
Yeah. Clara Strandhill and Mary's coming in next, joint at 9-1 each. DRP, 11-1. Killarney Mullinarina, 14-1. Could be a dark horse.
That's
to get to
a big
final.
Price,
That's an each way bet. Colliery St. Joe's, 16-1. Shamrock Hills, 20-1. Also a good price. They could very easily come out of that group. Curry, 25-1. And Giva, down at 50s.
Oh, if I was having a wee flutter there now, I might split it up. I might have £2.50 on Mary's at 9s and £2.50 on Killarney down at 14s.
Okay.
That'd be where my small money would be going on, yeah.
Very good.
Killarney, man. Although I'd say there's people around the town absolutely pining towards Rand.
4-9 to win a whole championship.
A friend of the podcast, Mr. McGowan, he used to just back Dublin. He's, for the last 2 or 3 years, he'd be putting a Dublin and Tour de Strand from about May on, just sticking a tenner on it each week and just tot up.
Okay.
Do you know? So.
Well, look, it hasn't done him any disservice the last 5-6 years. Anyway, that's for sure. Right, that was enjoyable, GA. We'll go to you next, Marty, with our football. Murty, all is not well up Churchill Road.
No, It's not, Adrian. It's not. It definitely isn't. Very disappointing now Saturday night. Started well again. Thought the first 20 minutes probably should have been a call. I actually haven't seen, I was there at the game, so I haven't actually seen any replays yet. But thought we could have been a couple up after the first 20, 25 minutes. Harps came with a plan to put as many men behind the ball as they could, play for a draw, and try and hit on the break, which, they scored a goal. No, I have seen the replay of the goal. The goal, it definitely looked like a push on John Mann. I don't know if they're going off John's head, or was it the big lad for Harps? But probably more disappointing was they didn't really show much reaction after the goal. They didn't. It was only until the board went up for 90 minutes that we actually created an ending in the second half. Yeah. Your man makes an unreal save at the end from, I think it was Mark Byrne who came on. But yeah, it was just very, after they scored, now I know, like, with them, they're always going to end up putting people behind the ball. But it was just very pedestrian. We didn't look like, you know, I thought Figueroa probably looked the biggest threat, although people seem to disagree reading the reaction online. I thought when we got the ball to him, it looked like he might actually do something. You know, at least he tries to beat a player, whereas I don't know, a lot of players were taking the safe option last night, which I think frustrated a lot in the crowd. It's crazy since the crowds have come back. Like, it's, I seen Rovers win in Longford now. I think I've watched four games in Shorgrounds in the last every one of them. You know, so
yeah, it's, I don't know if the crowd
I don't think the crowd should be hindering
a bit, yeah. But it shouldn't be hindering anything. But like the reaction on social media, now I know this happens anyways after the defeat and after the court defeat, it's way over the top.
I think it's
crazy stuff. Old men.
True, yeah. But whatever about, you know, like the Cork defeat can happen, you think of it as a hangover after a European game. But
yeah,
that result, very, you know, it was very worrying the other night now. You know, it was such a good chance to get out of the rut. Like, if you look at the league table now, like,
we're especially Bowes losing the water.
Bowes losing, that gap's going to 10 points if you, like, not that you nearly wrap it up, but, like, Bowes are involved in Europe now.
Mm.
Like, you look at everybody else below, like, I mean, even, you'd be pushing yourself 14 points ahead of Dundalk. You know, as it stands, we're 7 ahead of Bowes with the same amount of games played, 7 ahead of Derry and 8 ahead of Drogheda. Drogheda and Derry have both played two more games.
The dog is starting to click a wee bit, are they?
Although they got hammered then by Pats. It's such a good opportunity to get away from them teams. You know, again, Shams.
Well, especially if Dundalk qualify this week and Bowes qualify.
And
then they have another two games.
Backlog. Like, I mean, we're down to play Bowes on Sunday. I don't know whether they're planning on playing it if they go through or not. I think they are planning to play it, as far as I know.
There's just a little spark missing, is there?
Like, there's just something.
One result could, like, and that maybe should have came Saturday night, could just lift it again. Like,
yeah, we're kind of saying that, I suppose, for the first half of the season, the bounce of the ball went with us. Whereas, you know, we weren't, except for the Bowes game, we weren't hammering teams. You know, any of the teams we weren't hammering. So it's just a little bit worrying. As I say, it just seems like 3 points really dropped now. You know, you're still in a position where if we won on Saturday, we're only 6 points off Shams with a game in hand, who again fucking scored in 90 plus whatever the fuck they scored in. Apologies for the language. It's obviously, it still frustrates me watching it, even though I don't think we'll win the league. You still kind of have the hope that they would drop points. But again, look, they scored again in the 95th minute. So.
Look, I know they're sickening the shower, but
yeah.
When a team keeps doing that,
they keep doing it, yeah.
I think I liked
Buckley had in his after. I thought he actually spoke well after the game. I haven't probably seen as much of the managers in the old, prior to the League of Ireland TV switching from RTE, you used to see the managers
That's true, yeah.
But
you don't actually see them
as much now. But I thought he actually spoke well after the game. There was something just lacking there. It's hard to put your finger on it, but
they need a striker.
They need a striker,
they need someone to just...
Yeah,
like, to put them and on. Even like...
But even like...
Even an anti-Elding type, I'm going to say.
Yeah, just fella who's there.
Nearly not involved in the game too much and just...
Yeah,
finishes a chance.
And like, you know, I know people were pretty giving out about Romeo Parks the other day, but like, I mean, he didn't. The service up to him and Johnny Kenny was brutal. Like, you know, Johnny came off after about 60 minutes. I might have thought about leaving him on the pitch. I think.
Well, when you need a goal.
Yeah, I needed a goal and probably could have done with his pace up there. But like, De Vries came on. He probably didn't have a hole. Again, the service wasn't great. It was just very frustrating watching it because for the 6 or 7 minutes that was played on, you know, we really looked like scoring and then they got a man.
Yeah.
Like, if you got them enough, they had probably five lads booked by 70 minutes, you're only get one of them sent off, you know?
Well, that's disappointing, though. But look, there's 15 league games left.
I've said it to you all year, even when we were going well, it's all about getting Europe, finishing third, guarantee yourself, especially now that we're out of the cup, you just have to make sure you've... Because it is a year where the likes of Dundalk or Bowes, who are behind us, could win the cup, so you need to make sure you finish third.
They could very easily. Sorry, I was going to say, I ate my lunch in Tallaght Stadium car park last week in Dublin. Remember when I was pretending I was on a flight to Dublin Airport? I was in the car park. Yeah, I was actually in Tallaght Stadium. Okay, yeah, disappointing. The Bowls game hasn't been confirmed.
Yeah, as far as I'm aware, they're going ahead with it, but okay.
If they win, that could be a hold.
If they win, it could hold it. Now, they did play last week in between. They got beat by Waterford last week. Yeah, yeah, so maybe the plan is to keep playing them at this stage when you go so far. You can't really keep calling off games.
No, because how long does the season go on for them?
Yeah, I don't mind the one in between the first game and the second game, but after this now, you're just making a fortune, so...
Yeah, okay. Jealous of the other clubs in Europe, to be honest. But that's Rovers were there and didn't perform, I suppose, and haven't performed since. So
a
return to win away is badly, badly needed there. With especially junior soccer, Marty, the league season is going to start on the 29th.
Yeah, well, the weekend
and
of
the fixtures are out, actually. I believe. 22nd?
Well, sorry, it's the weekend of the 29th of August.
Oh, sorry, 27th. Yeah.
It's going to be good for a man that wants to watch football this year, I think, because... Spread out all over the weekend. So, yeah, I just run through the fixtures for the first weekend. In the Super League on Friday night, Strand Celtic will play MCR under the lights there in the Strand Zero, as they call it.
And Zero, yeah.
Carter United will be playing Rail Tubber, 7:15. That'll probably be the first competitive game, McSherry Park.
The new McSherry.
Opens, yeah. Wow. And then Ballymote are home to Manor.
Kennedy will be brought in the throne for that with a fur coat on him.
I didn't realise Ballymote have lights, but they must do if they're playing at 7:15 on the 27th.
Yeah, they got electricity there in 2013.
Oh, our Ballymote listeners won't like that.
Who are they playing, sorry?
They are playing Manor at home on 7. Yeah, so that's on Friday. Then on Sunday, still in the Super League, Cliffley take on Arrow Harps, on a Celtic play Carberry, and Merville play Ballysadare. And then on the Saturday night out in Drumahair, you have Drumahair against the new club from the league, Valley Rovers.
I seen them train. I was out at my daughter's under 12 game in Giva last week, and Valley Rovers were obviously training on the other Gaelic pitch in Giva, the one they don't really use anymore. I was like, who were they? And I realised. And then when I was late, I left Giva, I turned back, and it says, "Welcome to Giva," or to say that, the home of Valley Rovers. So it was brilliant. Yeah, it's great.
Great to see. Yeah, so that's actually two new teams. Drumahair only came back into the league last year. So Drumahair and Valley Rovers, that's Saturday, 28th August, 7:15. And St. John's will be at home to Carrick. I assume that's down in the Astro and Cleaver. Then on Sunday in the Premier League, you've Killarney at home to Ballygawley, Glenview against Enniscrone, Ben Bulbin against our second favourite team in the league, Chaffield United, and Gertrude Celtic versus Carl Rebos. So, that's the weekend of the 27th, 28th, and 29th of August.
Exciting.
So,
yeah,
not that long to go.
Looking forward to getting a few of them. Who will win the Premier Division?
The Premier Division?
John's looking fair with it.
I'd say you're probably your favourites there. Clanny are flying in pre-season. Yeah. They got interrupted in that cup with the COVID. They started well last season as well. I'd say you're looking between Colliery, Clanny, Glenview.
I forget about Colliery. Like Griffin's a big booster.
I think Colliery won that pre-season cup. So I'd say you're probably looking at Colliery, Glenview, Clanny, and...
just named the whole league out there.
St. John's. Well, that's four teams.
They all have a chance.
That's four teams.
Who did you say Carberry starting with, sorry?
Carberry are away to Arna first day. That's the 29th of August. I'd say Arna would be very Gaelic pending.
They are at this one time. I know Strand, but them 10 nil there again. During the cup, but that's exciting times. Looking forward to that, and I suppose we'll be back next week, maybe with more football.
Yeah, we might do a wee preview before that week.
We'll get a few preview and a few predictions. Okay, we'll come back with a bit of rugby.
He's made 5, 6, 7 yards. The great bullock of a man, this fella.
Neil Jenkins, Roscoe, how's all Hamilton Park on the rugby front?
Adrian, delighted to say we finally made it back onto the paddock. We went down there to the Monavay grounds last Saturday.
The Monavay Mongrels.
And it was good to be back.
So first challenge game. You get them a good tanking, yeah?
Yeah, we put a few points on them all right. Wasn't really keeping account of the score now, but it was fairly comfortable enough.
49-0.
Yeah.
You don't have to be so nice.
something like that. So it was good. Monavay were physical, abrasive, hardy old forwards, but we just had a bit too much class in the back line. Now, in fairness, like, that was their junior 1A team who play in the same division as our seconds team, playing against our senior team. So we are two divisions above them. But that said, now the team was very much half our seconds and half of our, in theory, first team. So we were by no means at full strength. Now they weren't at full strength either. But look, a good hit out, better than any training session. Just good for the lads after no contact for a long time, and thankfully no injuries, which was the big one.
That is the big one, isn't it?
Yeah.
As I said to you earlier, it's a game of luck. The injuries, really,
all the teams that are going back, like even in professional, semi-professional, like there's big injuries, like it's going to happen. You know, it's just fingers crossed. You need a bit of luck. But the boys are all pretty sore, but happy to be back in there. Some good performances. Guilherme Coghetto had a good game at fullback. Luke Hodge came in from the cold, the ghost, as we like to call him.
Why is that now?
He's never there.
All right. Brilliant.
He's never there. But the ghost came on and he scored an absolute belter of a crossfield kick, ran the length of the pitch, bet a fella. But his all-round game was good. Big tackles, good in the air. Like, just, he's a really good player now, Luke. Yeah. So hopefully now that'll be...
I heard Phil Carter a big game, did he?
Carter was probably man of the match, yeah. He okay. just, anytime he got on the ball, he was dangerous. He was stepping fellas for fun.
He's picking up where he left off last
year. Yeah, like he finished the season in form and he's looking to be in the exact same form starting the season as well. So one of the most dangerous wingers in the league. So just be looking to get the ball into his hand as well. So he was very good. Look, the fours were good, really pleasing. We had a couple of young fellas playing their first game for the senior team. Eddie Coyle came in. He was out injured for a year. Very promising young prop. He got through a lot of work. Scrummaged well. Young Stephen Doyle out of Summerhill. He actually hadn't played a game in 3 years. So like, Jesus. I mean,
for a young fella,
he came in and played the last 20 minutes of Loosehead and went pretty good. Damien Cullen, who we seem to have been speaking about since the very early days of this.
He's podcast. Around a long time for an 18-year-old now. He seems to be around a long time.
He does, but he actually finally...
Played an adult game.
Like, so I was just laughing. Like, when he came out of his first scrum, I'd say he thought he was back in his mother's native land of Cuba. The stars were shining.
He got a lesson
in his first scrum now. So he did say after the match, he goes, lads, I've never pushed before in a scrum. Like, he's a big man, so he never had to do any work. So... The wily grizzled Monave prop was salivating all summer at the thought of scrummaging down.
Fresh meat.
So Damien, it was a good experience for him and a good learning curve. And then Adam Fox came on and played as well, tight head, and did right in the scrum. And Jacob Fleming came on and played a scrum half there. So good shifts from all the young fellas. And good to have all the other lads back as well. Ross Hickey had a good game. Sean Wynn and James O'Hare. Played in the back row there instead of his usual hooking position, so given plenty of options for Simon Galvin to ponder ahead of our big return to senior rugby, the Connacht Senior League this Saturday.
It's happening this weekend.
Big double header in Hamilton Park. Our AIL, the lads are playing, the seniors, first 15, are playing against Buccaneers at 2:30.
Okay.
And then our development team, which is our second 15, is playing against Westport at 5 o'clock, so... You'll get good value for your money in Hamilton Park this
Jesus,
Saturday.
Yeah, light sports and it's all
and
around.
There's talk of Koha is coming out to do food and we've coffees as well. So
very good. I'll get to the first game anyways, definitely.
Two Kings Bar hires have been engaged to discuss the sale of alcohol.
So it's a festival of rugby happening and drinks
of
and
rugby,
food.
All
and
within the allowed permissions.
Very good.
So yeah, it'd be great. Anyone's down there, come along. Yep. It'd be great to see everyone. The boys would be delighted to see a crowd again. So
but mainly it's about getting back on the competitive rugby.
Yeah, so look, the crack is like just the AIL starting in October. Like we would have been fairly loaded, ready to go for this senior league in the last couple of seasons.
Yeah.
A lot of turnover in the obviously new coaching team coming in and a lot of players coming into the squad. So, you know, we're quite happy. We will be, you know, the big focus is getting the bodies right, getting, you know, the structures in place and really, really, really being ready for that first AIL game early October. So it'll be exciting to get back now. As I said to the boys, it felt like it was 3 off seasons in a row, like just all the admin and all the mess. And so it's good to finally get back into the important stuff. So
definitely.
Other announcements, Guilherme Cogueto, our fullback, Brazilian fullback, has been appointed the ladies' head coach. So this is a position we've been trying to fill for quite a bit of time, and we're delighted to have someone of the caliber of Guilherme.
He's good pedigree for that job.
Yeah, he does. Well, he's been down in Connacht with Ross Mannion, who's the Connacht ladies senior coach, and Guy has gone in and he's doing video analysis, but he's also jumping in as well, and he's been quite good with the skills development as well. So he's going to be great. He brings a lot of enthusiasm. He's helping out in Summerhill as well. Underages, and he's a bit of a legend already in the local circle. So
very good.
He'll bring good energy to that team, which is a new team, and need that enthusiasm. Yeah. And he's the perfect man.
Nice bit of experience there to bring in as well, like international rugby player.
Yeah, 100%. Like, so just any ladies out there that listen to the show, if you're in the 20% of females that listen to it from our demographic.
20%, yeah.
It's about that. It's rising. It is rising.
Very good.
The female audience is rising in the Sligo podcast.
The ladies love us.
So it's basically the senior team will be for anyone who's never played before, anyone that wants to play from other sports, or if you've played a bit of ball as well. Guy will cater to all of your needs.
Very good.
What is, you know, just a shout out to the couple of lads from the rugby club involved with the GAA minor squad there.
Yeah.
Ronan O'Hare, Robert O'Kelly Lynch, and Ben Cawley.
Ben Cawley's your man, is he? He's on the extended panel, Ben. He plays rugby as well, yeah.
Yes.
I was saying to you, O'Hare, I was asking where he plays in rugby.
Oh, look, I'm not 100% sure, but like you'd imagine he'd be a busy number seven, would he?
Wasp on the pitch again. He's brilliant. I've seen him a good few times now. I really like him.
Yeah. What else have we got there?
Your beloved Lions, Ross.
The Lions, yeah.
It's over. The dream is gone. Up in flames.
I was actually kind of happy for it to finish, to be honest with you.
Should have went ahead.
Yeah. I think it should have gone ahead because it gave us something to watch and talk about. And other sports are going ahead behind closed doors. Olympics are going behind closed doors. Like, just why not, you know? I know you're saying the love of the game and it's been over-sensationalised and Will Green.
Well, all that stuff about the immortality legends. The wind is immortality. No one gives a fuck, really.
But it's...
But I hate the way it's done that. It's ruined it.
They're over-pumping up the nostalgia.
What's his name? What's the Welsh fella's name?
Quinnell.
Yeah, Scott Quinnell was at some rugby club.
Yeah, he's gone around the country.
And like this massive speech. This 10 minutes, like fucking... choreographed speech about if you went to the you'll be giants and all this piss off, man.
Yeah,
sorry, no, I'm stamping. I didn't agree with this. I just didn't feel this year anyways at all.
Yeah, no, look, it's just.
But on the pitch, it was poor as well.
It was horrible. Like it was just that. Razzy Erasmus, you know, probably one of the best coaches in the world, still World Cup Lions series winning, but. The way he went about it now for the second test.
Do you think he's tarnished himself a wee bit?
I think he definitely has tarnished himself. And he's definitely, there'll be big fines and sanctions now. Like, because what they did really flipped up the rule book in terms of referee engagement. And I know, like you say, you kind of go on about how you respect the referees in rugby and, like, you know, you're over the top, you're so proud of it. But, like, anyone who ever comes out against the referees in post matches or in columns always get dealt with. And this wasn't just like a comment or two. Like, this was like. An hour and 5 minutes of a rant on uploaded online. So like, he didn't just like you know.
But it was very strategically done and thought out. So what was the end?
The end goal
just to win the series, like.
Yeah, well, just it was basically goal focused. Like, what's he doing right now? I'm trying to win the
but what
series.
Does he come up? I'm just like I'm thinking like rugby World Cups in 3 years' time. Obviously, it's a bigger thing. So what's the plan for that? Like, I know that's what I mean. Yeah.
In the Chasing the Sun documentary. His big thing was, right, no matter who they're playing, how do we find a way to hate them?
Oh, there you go.
That's what he does. Like
Siege
mentality, that's what he does. Like, every week when they're playing the Japanese, like, the nicest nation, they were the host, they were growing
a bunch
game.
Of lads.
He was just like, their thing was, in the coaches' meeting, he's like, how do we hate these people? How do we find a way to hate them? And he brought up some ridiculous thing about the way they painted dressing rooms or something, or some obscure thing that the Japanese had done. They're too nice, so hate them for being too nice. But that's Razzy's attitude. It's win at all costs, I suppose, but... he really turned that second test into the worst match of rugby I've ever watched in my life.
And really?
The third test was a little bit better. But the second match, the referees overinterpreted everything.
I didn't watch the second match.
So, like, I don't know. I think, like, and Nigel Owens was on a podcast the other day. Now, his referee commentary is, I'm not fully gone on it either. Like, you know, it's a different mix. But what he said is, he felt that they were overusing technology in rugby, right?
Yeah.
He said, now every single decision is going, for marginal calls, it's going to the technology, right?
Yeah.
And his analogy in this was, right, if you are at one skyscraper and looking at another skyscraper and there's a tightrope between them, okay?
Right.
If you are walking across the tightrope, you're going to use all your energy and concentration to make sure you don't fall off, right? If you have a safety net underneath you, you're just going to fucking bomb through it, know that you're comforted, that you're going to fall into a safety net. So therefore, you're not going to put the same effort into crotching the tightrope.
Right.
So he felt that technology is a safety net.
For who? For who though? For the referees?
On the pitch, okay, yeah. So he said, listen, look, I'm going to just kind of get this decision right. I know I'm backed up here by the TV anyways.
Really, they can't get anything wrong, really.
Yeah, so that's what he said. They don't pride themselves as much in their decision and they're not using their instincts.
That's
because
that's a good point.
So he said, basically, if you just go, that it's either a captain's review, that you can go to technology 3 times or something, or he said that basically...
That's in rugby league, isn't it?
Yeah, it's in rugby. They tried to bring it in the rugby union as well, and they might bring it back in as the Leinster were using it. It was in the Pro 12 or whatever the effect.
The Rainbow Cup.
Yeah, the Rainbow Cup. But he just said basically, if only for like absolute key point moments that you could use the technology, not going back 7 phases to see a forward pass.
Yeah.
You know, he just said, you're there... deal with it, get the support from you guys in the sideline and only use it 1 or 2 or 3 times.
Yeah, there has to be some human error.
Let it flow, but that line, it was like, God, rugby's two 40-minute games. It was like 105 minutes to get her the whole match. Like it was.
And as I said to you earlier, even the decision for the South African try with 6 minutes aside, and then the ref goes,
"No, let's
like, yeah, let's sure. now look. Let's take our time with this." He goes, "Like they already hadn't."
But you know what else as well? Sorry, you know, the South Africans are cute old hoers as well. Like they control the TV cameras, right? So they were absolutely puck acting with the angles for the South African incidents, and they were delaying the footage as well. And then they'd keep showing the try part, which was like, you know, a clear grounding, but not going back to the knock on. So they're up to all sorts.
I actually watched Saturday's game on Supersport, the South African channel, because I was so sick of Sky Sports. Yeah. Supersport's unreal. For anyone on IPTV, Supersport, there's 13 channels.
Brilliant, 13
channels of sports that are African with everything on it.
Yeah,
but anyways,
I use that. It's unreal. So look at it.
I watched that on Supersport, so I didn't notice that. I was probably looking at the cameras there.
Yeah, so they were cute enough to put
brilliant,
it in.
Brilliant.
Then, like, look, obviously,
shit-housery.
Razzie is a water boy as well on the pitches. Like, he was in behind the goal.
He's not even the coach anymore.
No,
he's
not
a technical.
He still is the main man. Your man, Jacques, is the main coach. But then just to finish it off with the Lions, very tight test series. South Africa were behind in everything, possession, stats, gain lines, turnovers, penalties, but
just know how to win though.
They had that moment, they got a break of a ball, and Cheslin Kobe did what he did and took his moment, just like he did in the World Cup final as well. But the Lions had two chances. Liam Williams, there was a 2v1, passed the ball, that's at least 5 points, and then also Tom Curry had a bit of a brain fart.
It was 10-3 at that time when he curried on it, wasn't it?
And no, it was just before the half time, like they could have gone
10-6
or something. The Lions would have been in a better position, but then Tom Curry had a bad moment as well, and that was it. Like, so that was this, it all boiled down into that. Two moments the Lions didn't take, the Lions took their one chance.
Right, that's the Lions for another 4 years anyways.
Back in Australia in 4 years.
Right, we'll get there. Okay,
right,
Ross, enjoyed that Lions chat, and the rest of rugby, best of luck Saturday in Hamilton Park.
And good stuff, yeah.
Yep. Okay, we're going to be back with our correspondence. Good few letters in, lads, so let's get to it.
Hello, my name is Mr. Burns. I believe you have a letter for me.
Okay, Mr. Burns. What's your first name?
I don't know.
Okay, lads, a few texts and messages in before we finish up. We'll get to them. We'll go quick to you, Murty. What have you got in front of us?
Sorry
to put you in the spot there, did you?
No, I haven't. There's one here for you, actually.
Me?
Will the minor semi-final and the moving of the All-Ireland final to accommodate the Tyrone camp play havoc with club fixtures? It could do, I suppose.
You know what was said on the pitch after that second round challenge was going to be put back because of the minor game on? The minor semi-final on. So, just the only thing is, I suppose the first round is now for this weekend, and the second round is now for the weekend, the 21st, 22nd, and they're going to be cancelled now. And then it was a bye week, but the hurling championship was due to start then. So, I don't know if they'll push everything back away because of the minor, so you still get your bye week in football, and the hurling starts the weekend after that. But then the All-Ireland football final has been pushed back because of Tyrone. I think that was the reason for the bye week in the football, if you get what I mean.
Yeah. So, you push.
The only thing is, there's no time frame on finishing the championship, I suppose, because the county season doesn't start technically until January again.
Is there a provincial one this year? Clubs?
There is, there is. I know that, but...
So the rest of them may all always be behind anyway, so...
There will be, and that. I don't think it will. I don't think havoc is the word. It should be okay.
Might cause a bit of movement.
Movement. If pushed back a week, it's pushed back a week. But the only thing is, if it is pushed back a week and everything goes out a week, we have to call it this weekend and we won't have a game then for 4 weeks because we're due a bye against St. Mary, or we're due a bye the second week and then there's a week off and then we St. Mary. So maybe things like that, like it's a lot. Playing the first round and then waiting 4 weeks is a bit of...
And then you might play 3 and 4 weeks, or, you know.
Yeah. It's actually a good question. Look, it's not going to be decided until the fixtures come out, really, so the CCC have to decide, but... Cutting, I suppose.
So this one's in for the three of us here, lads. Now, there's a few parts to this question. So I'll break it down, sure. This is in from Shaney McGee. After the 10 days of commotion regarding a certain special envoy to the EU, I assume that's referring to Catherine Zabon, which previous guest on the pod would the lads choose as a special envoy? So I suppose what's her special
She was over
role?
In the US, was it nearly an ambassadorial role?
Is it that it is?
She was over, but she was New York based anyways, and the role is in New York. So they said that, and I'm not defending her, but she was in New York. Sure. She had the experience, etc. Anyways,
bringing people out for dinner and like, is it?
Gino's
our man there.
Gino's our man there.
What? Yeah, we're sending Gino over to New York.
So next part of the question, so basically...
I've been walking these streets so long, like a rhinestone cowboy.
What was it? I'm just thinking of Gino with the cowboy, the Midnight Cowboy. Yeah. You're the one where he goes over to be a man whore.
Jesus.
Do you want a movie?
Or I know what you're on about. Yeah.
Everybody's talking about me.
Walking down.
I didn't expect Gino and Man Ward to be in the same sentence. Go on, there's more to that question, is there?
There is. I'm sorry. So basically, which we're telling Saigo, would we host a private celebratory party? I assume that's again referring to Catherine Zabon. Yeah. And I suppose then the big question is, would it include a Carvery?
We won't go to the glasses anyway, because you could see in the fucking whole place.
Yeah.
Get stung.
Where's the best one? Hidden gems of rooms and hotels.
The Riverside has some random
down below, don't they?
It does, actually, yeah, yeah.
No one would think of going to the Southern. And they do Carvery, I believe, as well.
Yeah. Well, that could double up, yeah. Actually, in fairness, yeah, if you went down, there's two separate function rooms in the Southern.
There is.
So if you didn't go
to
that main
one. To the right of the leisure centre and to the left of the leisure centre is actually the big main function room where the wrestling is on. And then there's a breakfast restaurant type room.
Into the breakfast restaurant, yeah. So for Carvery.
Which was the warm-up room.
Is that our answer, yeah?
Yeah, we're going to the Southern. The basement of the Southern will be there.
Yeah.
Sorry, I'm just off the phone a second. This was sent in random. Do any of you think everyone hates you the day after drinking, or are you normal? That's about the fear, is it?
The fear. Yeah. Yeah. And if you do a podcast on the fear, I'd say.
Yeah. The fear is a real thing.
Cast. Yeah.
It is. It's a scientific fact.
It is, yeah. It's disgusting, really, isn't it?
I would say I get it on the second day after rather than the first day after. First day after, you're still a bit happier with your antics. The second day then.
That's what I told you about over in Australia, the Aer Lingus Tuesday, where you just, or Emirates Tuesday. You wanted to fly back to Ireland because you just had enough of that. Yeah. I had a Tuesday.
When we were in Grand Canaria before, I tried to, on a Wednesday, I think we landed the Sunday, the second year, I went to the airport to try and get home. I wasn't staying the extra 6 days. I didn't get home, obviously. I wasn't that much fucking...
This one, yeah.
I was down in the dumps.
There's been some bad.
Question. Decky Baskell asks, is Liam Buckley under pressure, or have the players dropped the baton?
Or baton, even.
Baton. Interesting question.
I suppose any manager's under pressure. I don't know if he's... I think it'll have to continue going on for another few games of continuing to lose games before he'd be under any real pressure.
I personally don't think he isn't. I think he's credit in the bank.
Yeah, I think he's got credit in the bank as well. I think certainly have the players dropped the baton? I don't know. I suppose it's just maybe they're just not as good as everybody thought they were.
Possibly.
Like I know, like people, I've seen like there is an investment in this squad, and like there is a, and like we've got definitely got a higher quality of player than we did last year. But like you still have to remember a lot of them lads like starting the other night, like Johnny Kenny, John Mann, Niall Moran, McGinty. Even Mark Byrne that came on the bench, they're all young fellas. Like, do you know what I mean? You can't, you know.
Yeah.
Like, they're all very young players. So.
That could be the good summing up there from Martin.
Yeah, I still think
they're not as good as everyone thought they were.
Maybe not. Yeah, yeah. Maybe like and maybe they're the third best team in the league, which you would have settled for at the start of the year. Yeah.
Buckley's remit would have been.
I wouldn't say he's under pressure, but certainly can't keep going on.
I think it's a bit. It seems a bit stale, maybe.
Just a bit stale. Yeah. I think probably maybe the slight worry is that that's kind of where the way it petered out for him at St. Pat's, but that was over a much longer time frame. I just think, there's improvements there to be made, but I don't think he's under any real pressure for the minute. No,
but he shouldn't be. I don't think any. Stephen Hone asks, who would win between the current Sligo senior team and the current and the Connacht champion minor team? The senior team would win, Stephen, because the minor team are 16, 17-year-olds, while the senior team are grown men playing at a higher level. anything else on that?
you summed it up well there. I don't think he liked that question, Stephen. He didn't like that question.
No, not that he didn't like it, Stephen. Jesus, a good friend of the pod. And
no, he didn't like that question, I said.
Oh, yeah. He kind of asks here, he tagged in this, so we discussed it. He goes up in the correction. It's about... a Twitterer like Kaneen said, he replied to something saying Sligo weren't allowed to postpone it last year and had to put out a championship. The GAA have seen different rules, different counties. This has gone the back of Tyrone and Kerry semi-final. Stephen wrote that, opened the correction, but there was protocols last year. If you got to a semi, there was going to be accommodations made. And he said, we mentioned it in last year's podcast. We did, yeah. I think the rule was last year, if you got to the Ireland semi-final stage and it was COVID, accommodations will be made. But we also... called when Sligo called as pure elitism.
Yeah,
there's no chance Dublin, Tyrone, if they had an outbreak in an Ulster semi-final or Leinster semi-final, would have been allowed even pull out.
No, you're talking definitely on teams like Dublin, Tyrone, Kerry, Donegal, Mayo.
No chance. There was elitism there. Look, I think there has. I know Tyrone have 21 cases. I think there has to be. It's an All-Ireland semi-final. Like, look, there has to be a pushback on it, in fairness. So,
yeah.
I don't think it's too bad. And comparing to Sligo, Sligo should have been given a bit more time.
You were saying
there's
21 of them have COVID?
21, supposedly, yeah. And that's between management and players and backroom, I think. So that's a good group. So they're fucking licking each other's faces or something.
There must be Valor, no.
I don't know.
Do you know what I mean? It seems very. It
seems a lot, in fairness. It does seem a lot. There was one there.
There's one there for Enda. Where does Enda rate the Connacht minor title to his Murphy's Bear Division 2 success with Mara United in 2005?
Well, he actually got in contact with us and said it's third place. That same year he won a championship with Clare in 2005, did he? Did he say third?
He said, yeah, and sorry.
It was a hard year as well. There was a few lows, he said. They lost the Eurotab Cup final to Arrow Harps.
Nobody like you losing the Eurotab Cup final.
The Eurotab's a prestigious competition.
Would someone let us know what your...
What is Eurotab?
Did they do taxis? I thought they were a taxi company, but I could be wrong.
Eurotab, Ross? Yeah, I don't know.
No idea.
They sponsored that cup for years and years and years.
Well, I still reference the Eurotab Cup daily, I think, in my life.
And nobody knew what they did. It was all bad advertising.
Yeah, it was really bad advertising. Jeez, I'd really love a can of Eurotab right about now. That's nearly us, lads.
Yeah, there was success in the waters at the weekend.
Oh, yes.
The sailing report was out. What happened there, Ross?
The Ladies' Cup Nationals, and I think Deco Brennan took the gold... The gold prize in the bronze fleet.
Deco Brennan, Summerhill teacher.
Mr. Brennan, of course, as we still call him.
So he took the gold. What did he bring?
It was described to me earlier. There's different fleets, different classes, different speeds they can go at. So he was in the bronze category.
Very good, Declan. So. Always a good waterman. Listener to the pod, too.
Yeah. Fine teacher.
Great friend of the pod. Nearly done.
Fancy football.
Fancy football, lads. Yeah. Big plug. So get in contact, DM us on Instagram or Twitter, and there's a good WhatsApp group going.
What's
there.
The cut-off point?
We'll probably Friday, lunchtime maybe-ish. Yeah.
Thanks to our friends at ROM Fitness for
the sponsorship, and then our good friends at Lochgill as well. And there'll be loads of prizes during the year. There'll be obviously a overall prize and Christmas prizes and hopefully some monthly stuff. No, there will be some monthly stuff as well.
And
the WhatsApp group, I'm looking forward to kick off, because there's a good mix of characters already in it. There's more to come, and... There was someone called a cunt in it the other day after the first... It was you, was it?
I called John Quinn a cunt.
Straight in.
Admin.
Not retracting the comment either.
That went straight in, yeah. So good thing there. Fancy Premier League. So get involved. Get in contact with us there. Ross, cover your last pod. Baby coming on Thursday.
Probably the last pod, yeah.
So, Ron, if you come in with a one, two, three, four. Baby on board, how I've adored that sign on my car's window pane. Bouncing my step, loaded with pep, 'cause I'm driving in the carpool lane. Call me a square, friend, I don't care. That little yellow sign can't be ignored. I'm telling you, it's mighty nice.
Well, it's a trip to paradise with my baby on board.
Best of luck at the baby, Ross. We'll see you all next week.
Thank you.
Beautiful, lads. Thank you very much.
Bye.
I'm going back to where the beach is near. The beer is dear. There's plenty of women out of the crowd. Walking around the
final second, the whistle is gone, and Sligo Rovers
at your back.
By the river side, you can match the tide as it flows.
No, I'm being told that Average Joe's does not have enough players and will be forfeiting the championship match.
It's a bold strategy, Cotton. Let's see if it pays off for him.
Gary tried to and drive it clean out over the fence. Oh, he's a cotton.
In the bookie shop, I don't.
Hey, it's Danny Pellegrino from Everything Iconic. Ready to upgrade your style game without blowing your budget? Check out Quince. They've got all the good stuff, shirts and polos, activewear and fine leather goods, all at 50 to 80% less than other high-end brands. And the best part? They're all about safe, ethical and responsible manufacturing. Get that luxury vibe without the luxury price tag. Hit up quince.com/upgrade for free shipping and 365-day returns on your next order. That's quince.com/upgrade.
Tired of ads interfering with your favorite sports podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Stay ahead of the game by downloading the Amazon Music app for free. Or go to amazon.com/sportsadfree. That's amazon.com/sportsadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
Acast powers the world's best podcasts. Here's a show that we recommend.
Want to join a film club that has real frank discussions, talking about films that you actually want to watch?
Well, then look no further, because we are Frank Film Club with me, Maisie Williams. And each week we watch a film and then come together and obsess over it, or sometimes absolutely slate it. Either way, there's always a lot to say. And the films that we pick range all the way from like 90s and noughties classics all the way up to new releases that are coming out every single week. And sometimes we get our listeners to pick for us.
And we all work in the film industry, don't we, ladies?
Indeed.
So we really love to look at specifically how a film was made.
So if this sounds like your bag, then come and have a listen to Frank Film Club. And remember, absolutely everyone is welcome in this club.
Acast helps creators launch, grow, and monetize their podcasts everywhere. Acast.com.